Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to your Purpose Moment with Power with Purpose. I just want to say hello to everyone and, you know, just speak with you, you know, for a short time today, but every moment is a powerful time. We're going to be speaking about healing, and we're basically going to talk about the boy or the girl in you. So fully heal the man or woman you are now. Oftentimes, people don't identify with the issues that they may be having or, you know, being unsure of themselves. And it's so many different things that we don't identify with, you know, in terms of where, you know, we are now and how that directly connects, you know, with everything that we had done more or less in our childhood. And what you have to understand is that if you never went and dealt with those issues that you had as a young boy or a young girl, the man or woman that you have become, you're carrying those same things. And so you have to ask yourself the question, you know, who am I? And what is it that I want? So when you know who you are, you can define what you want to fully walk in your purpose, the reason why you're here. And I just want you to be able to be clear about the direction in which you should go, because your choice is your own. And nothing and no one can make that choice for you unless you allow them to, or unless you allow those kinds of things, you know, to hinder you. But you have to understand that you are your own hindrance. You can be your own hindrance. And the way that you can be your own hindrance is not making your mind up about things, always consulting people for things that you already have the answers to, if you yourself will not be fearful, if you yourself will not fear who you are. Because when you can own your truth, meaning that you can own who you are, be it some things that you or decisions you may have made that weren't so great or, you know, great decisions, whatever they may be, if you can own that, you are already ahead of the game. But it's about you owning your truth. It's about you confronting who you are, where you want to be, and where you once were. And that's not something that anybody owns but you. Nobody has the right to tell you these things but you, you know. And oftentimes, and it's not to say not to listen to parents, not to listen to people that you hold near and dear to you, but you have to be able to take away from that what is valuable to you. You have to be able to understand that everybody is always giving advice, but it's about you understanding and taking the right advice. Because if you do not, you can find yourself in situations that you yourself have created or that you have allowed other people to create for you. And even more so than that, you know, you just want to get to a point to where it's not just about you lean on your fear, because you don't want to find out how or why or if you should do this right now. You lean on therapy, you lean on fear because it's safe to you, it's something that you know. You become complacent, you become this person that you may not even know or even identify with. And a lot of that is carried from that childhood. It's not necessarily about you being abused. In some instances, it could be just about the fact that you didn't get that much needed attention, or more or less, you know, you didn't get that encouragement. But whatever it is, it's yours to own. And I'm not saying, you know, that it's going to be an easy task. Nothing great is ever given easy. But what I'm saying is that when you get past it, you will recognize your greatness so you can walk into your greatness. And I just want you to understand. And once again, I'm going to sit here and tell you, I'm not going to browbeat you with the Bible, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so with that being said, you have to understand and really, really embrace those words. I tell you, embrace them. So I'm going to go out here and see if my co-host is on the line. You all are very familiar with her. Her name is Mrs. Monica Wimberly. And always, 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 she will give you an encouraging word. And more importantly, just give you truth. Mrs. Monica Wimberly, thank you so much. And welcome, welcome, welcome to our audience. How are you doing today?
I am great. And thank you for having me on as a co-host. And hello
Absolutely.
To everyone else on the line.
Great, great, great. Well, we're talking about healing, and we're talking about, you know, the little boy or girl in you that you may not give enough attention to, or you may be going back and reminiscing what may have happened or not have happened in your childhood. What are some of the things that you can give people for them to fully understand what we're talking about today, what we're having a conversation about today?
Well, I am so glad that we're having this conversation. And when I saw what the topic was, I said, wow, I mean, I definitely have a testimony and a testament to healing the little girl that I once was and becoming the woman that I am now. I was raised by my grandparents. I came home from the hospital with them. They were in their 60s, and my mother was 14. So they gave her an option. You can take your baby and leave, or you could leave your baby and leave. But either way, she had to leave. I didn't even know that I was not living a normal life. It was normal to me that these people in their 60s were taking care of me. I called them mom and dad. I did not see my mother and father, so they took very good care of me, and I was just spoiled rotten. You know, I was an only child. My mother did not go out and have any other children. I know some people are dealing with, you know, their mother may have given them away, but then they decided to have other children. And then, you know, either that little boy or little girl will feel like, well, what was wrong with me that my mother did not keep me, but she went on to have other children and kept them? So I cannot identify with that. I can only talk about the friends of mine that had that happen to them. But I want to get back to how I was healed as a little girl. When I became a teenager is when I realized all of my friends' parents were younger than my grandparents. And so I started to watch a lot of things. You know, my grandparents, as I said, they were very old when I was born. And they lived to be 95 and 97. And when I became an adult, I was carrying baggage, you know, hurt as a little girl that I didn't even realize that I should have had my parents taking care of me, but still always thanking God that He put me with two of the most amazing people on the planet of the earth. And I thank Him for that. But what's so special is that when my father, my natural father, was getting ready to pass, he had asked me to bring him some bottled water. I took the bottled water to him because, mind you, at that point in time, I knew the Lord, I loved the Lord, and I am a child of God. So my birthday was coming up. Now, my father never did anything for me for my birthday, not even send a card. My mother did send cards, and I saw her every now and then. To look at her, I knew who she was. She was my mother. I met my father when I was 16. But, you know, as a grandmother and a great-grandmother, when my father went in hospice, you know, I thought, and I really truly believed that I was healed from the pain of not being raised by my natural parents. And I remember my birthday, and I was turning 56. No, I was turning 55 because I was born in 55 and I'm 60 now. And I said, well, I'm going to go to hospice early and I'm coming back home with my family. And just like I'm speaking to you now, God said to me, you are going back to hospice where your father is and you will be healed today. And I said, Lord, I'm healed. I'm fine. You know, having that conversation with God. Again, he repeated, you are going back to hospice this evening, and you will be healed. And I said, what do you mean by healed? What are you referring to, Lord? He said, the day you took your first breath is the day your father will take his last. And that was so powerful. And I had never touched my father's hand. I was never in a room with him by myself. But when it came time for him to take his last breath, it seemed like everybody that was in the room around his bed left out. And I called my father Charles when I finally did meet him. I never referred to him as daddy or anything. And when he was laying there and everybody was out of the room, God told me, pull the chair over by his bed. And I had never sat that close to my father. And God reminded me, tonight you will be healed. You will be delivered. And so I pulled my chair up and I held my father's hand. And I, hallelujah, I started forgiving him for not being there, forgiving him for not wondering if I had a bottle of milk, if I had a pamper, if I had a roof over my head, forgiving him that he married a woman with children, took care of her children, and she had two girls by him, forgiving him for everything, and just letting him know that I loved him and I forgave him. And I watched my father look up from his bed into the left corner of the room and follow the ceiling over to the door. And that is when my father took his last breath. And I yelled, no, not my daddy. And everybody ran back into the room. But I thank God for that experience. I thank God for being obedient. I had no intentions of going back because I had already visited him early in the day of my birthday. And to show you just how people do not want you to be healed. They want you to stay in bondage. They want you to stay that hurt little girl. And my stepsisters and his wife and a whole bunch of other cousins, they actually asked the doctor, can you change the date on his death certificate? Can you put something other than March the 20th? And they said, we have to put down the time he passed. So on the program, on the obituary was my birth date. On his headstone is my birth date. So no matter how much they wanted to exclude me, persecute me, and make me feel hurt, even though I was born before all of them, God set everything in order. And I'm telling you, when I give that testimony, I can still see my dad laying in that bed and knowing that I forgave him for everything. And that is how we heal from the little boy and little hurt girl. We have to forgive. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And a lot of times we want to say, oh, they know what they're doing. They know. But they don't know. So I thank God that I'm able to share that with you. Because I am healed and I am the woman I am today because of being obedient to God and forgiving my dad. Thank you.
That was a definitely powerful and a wonderful statement. It's not even a statement. That's not even really giving it justice. That's a powerful and wonderful testimony. I tell you, when I was listening to that, I can feel the power. I can feel every feeling that you felt because it was like I was right there in that room. My Lord, I tell you, what was so powerful, oh, absolutely, what was so powerful about that is that she put herself aside and she forgave. And in forgiveness, my God, you are delivered from that hurt little girl or that hurt little boy because you decided that you were going to forgive yourself. You decided that you were going to have forgiveness within your heart so you can move forward. Because forgiveness is never for the other person. It's for you. And I know you heard that before, but how many of you really, really identify it? How identify with it? How many of you really, really understand the depth of forgiveness? Think about that. How many of you really, really understand the depth of it? Because if you do, it should be the easiest thing for you. And I say that because decide that it's easy to you, it's easy for you to forgive. Then in that instant, you've begun to change your life. You've begun to walk the path that was ordained for you. You begin to understand that in forgiveness, it's growth, it's healing, it's success for some of you, however you choose to define it. It's about you growing up from that little girl, that little boy, into the woman or man that you are now. And it will help you in your life in terms of how you deal with relationships, how you just deal with people in general. And I tell you, you know, the one thing that is so, so, so very paramount for people is family. And what people don't understand is that family is a pillar. Family is supposed to be foundation. It's not necessarily always your biological family where you will receive this kind of love and this kind of care, but family should be compassion. Family should be love. It should be strength. It should be deliverance for you. It should be your sanctuary. It should be your safety. And I tell you, if you are blessed to have that, amen, if you are still seeking that, then the first step to that is forgiveness. Because when people see that you can get beyond you, you can own your truth, whether wrong or right in your eyes. Remember I said in your eyes and in your heart and in your mind and your spirit and your soul, that you can begin to understand and see with your heart. And for some of you who already understand what I'm saying in the spiritual realm, we're talking about loving and believing in God. When you see with your heart, that is the truth. When you see with your carnal eye, your natural eye, that is not reality. That is what you're seeing. And if you look at it, something can change within the blink of an eye. So, again, that's for you all who really understand what it is to love God, to walk in God, and walk in your identity and your purpose. And for those that may not believe, I will say Godspeed. Remember, I will never browbeat you with the Bible, but I will never not include God in our conversations, because I'm a firm believer when you put God's hand on something, his hand is on everything in your life. Now, getting back to the conversation in terms of healing, my Lord, healing is something that we all must begin to understand. It's not just about, you know, where you're trying to go. It's literally about where you are now. Everything is now. Everything is your present. And if you are still walking around in unforgiveness, if you're still walking around and seeing or feeling like you have no direction, being hopeless, being in a state of despair, being confused, if you are walking around like that, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is start with some positive affirmations. Start with, I am beautiful on the inside and out. Look at yourself. And even if you're not ready to look at yourself, start speaking the power that is within you, the positivity. Start speaking powerful things. Because whatever you speak, it is definitely willed unto you. Whatever you speak, it becomes your reality. Because if you're speaking it, that means it was already in your mind. And so the next action is you acting upon it, whether that thing is in a positive light, whether that thing is in a negative light for some of you. But healing is something that's powerful. but it's not a place where everyone can begin. You have to get back to the basics and start right where you are. And then that way, when you get to a point of healing, you can appreciate the journey that you took to get there. And you would understand how necessary some of the things that you have gone through were, and then you will begin to understand, excuse me, how some things that you may have gone through, you did not have to go through. But I believe that is a life lesson in everything that we go through, or we really would not have gone through it. But Monica, I tell you, that was really, really powerful. And one of the things that, you know, I think about all the time is that I see so many people today that are lost. I see so many people today that have no direction. I see so many people today that are leaning on the wrong things and hoping for the best. And I'm not a person that I'm going to hope for the best. I may start there, but I'm going to expect the best all the time. And that's what I claim. So what do you think about those individuals, or what can you say to those individuals who are walking around and they're lost and they don't even know it, or who are totally lost and they're trying to claw their way out, if you will?
Well, definitely those that do not even know that they're lost, we definitely have to pray for them. And those that feel like they just have to, you know, rake and scrape and, as you said, claw their way out, we definitely know that they don't have to do that. It is just very, very easy. It seems like the hardest job, but at the same time, it's the easiest job. Because I look at how God forgave us. And he gave us his son, Jesus. And we were doing so many terrible things. But love covers a multitude of faults and sins. So if you truly love a person, you can let go, you can forgive, and it will not be to a point that it is taxing on your mind, your body, and you're wavering to and fro. Just think about a person that you have fallen in love with. Everybody else can tell you how terrible that person is, but you have on your rose-colored glasses, and you only want to see the best. So what I say to people is find love in your heart. True love, not infatuation, because that can fade off when a person does the least little thing. But true love, you can overlook everything and anything that they do. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to let anybody walk all over me. Well, I look at the fact they nailed Jesus to the cross. He didn't even complain. So who are we? We're not that special that, you know, things cannot happen in our lives. And, you know, things happen to make us strong. They happen so that we can get the victory. And not only that, they happen because it's not for us. It's for someone else. My testimony about losing my dad, I know that that's for somebody whose dad is still alive, and they have an opportunity to get it right before they close their eyes, not on their deathbed. You know, go over to, you know, your father's house, your uncle's house, whoever did something that put bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart, and I'm telling you, once you forgive them, truly show love and hug them, you will feel the weight of the world come off your shoulders. And a lot of times we even forget while we're angry with somebody. We don't even remember what they did. All we know is we're mad, we're supposed to be mad, and someone would ask you, well, what did they do to you? Oh, well, that was about 20 years ago. Or that was,
They could even say a couple of months ago or a week ago. We soon forget the deed, but we want to attach the deed to unforgiveness. And once we turn that around and forgive people right then and there, you will not harbor all these seeds of unforgiveness, and it will take you to an early grave, and it will definitely make you bitter toward everyone. And like I said, you'll forget what happened, but you just know that you're angry. You know that you're not pleased. You don't even know what happened. And it could be something that happened to another family member or a friend, and because they're not friends with Susie, you shouldn't be Susie's friend either. Now, Susie hasn't done anything to you. So we have to definitely show love, compassion, and care for one another.
Absolutely.
All I
have
to say.
Key right there. That is so key. And most people don't even understand that compassion and care. It begins with a simple gesture. You can smile at someone and say hello. I tell you, I don't know how many times I've walked down in different areas and people just look at you. They don't speak. It's none of what it was. And I remember back in my grandmother's time, my grandfather's time, and even in my mom and dad's time, to where people were more concerned about not just the welfare of their families, but everyone who lives in that specific community. You know, people were concerned about each other's children and making sure that they were safe and making sure that things were to go as they should go. It was a village, you know, and that's that African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. And it truly does, but we want villages that have the heart, love, character, and spirit of God, because we know if they're walking in truth, Lord help me, if they're walking in truth and they have the heart, love, and spirit of God, we know that not only the children will be taken care of, but people, the families, will begin to be healed. The little boy or the little girl are healed. That way, when as they are growing up and when they become men and women, they don't have to confront those specific issues. Why? Because the village raised that little boy or that little girl. And I tell you, when I think about just the state of family today, when I think about all these different things that plague us, if we allow it to, I say to God be the glory, because when God is involved, there is nothing that cannot be done. There is nothing that is not already done. You know, and the one thing that's so very powerful, and I will keep saying it, that success is not based on tangible things, but it's based on the heart, character, and love of you. Success is about relationships, your ability to create them, your ability to maintain them, but most of all, your ability to care, love, and nurture people in those specific relationships. And Monica, excuse me for one moment. Don't hear, this is live and we are, it's just what it is.
Okay.
Can you give the audience some closing remarks in regard to just what we were conversing about today?
Well, one thing that I do want to say, I know, I'm not going to say I hope, I know that we shared things on this line today, the conversation that we had, I know it did not fall on deaf ears. I know that it definitely empowered some of you, maybe all of you. And I know that this is something that you're going to think about, you're going to share with other people, and you are going to put forgiveness in action. Because I believe that whatever you hear on this line, that you will be motivated to do something. You did not come on this line just to listen in and not do something. And that's something that I know that you will do is forgive whoever has wronged you or has not wronged you. If you believe it in your heart that they've done something, forgive them anyway. And I want to share with you five things to tell yourself every day. And I tell myself this every day. And some of you may have heard me say it on the conversation before. And number one, you say, today will be my day. Number two, I am the best me there is. Number three, I know that I'm a winner. Not that I think or maybe, but I know that I'm a winner. Number four, I can do it. I know I can. And number five, God will always be with me. God will always be with you. Be positive and believe in yourself.
That was great, and we started a little late, so we weren't able to really get to you today, and I will make this promise to you. We will definitely include you all because it's so powerful for you to be all, for you to be interactive, and so we can hear your voices. But I just want to thank Mrs. Monica Wimberly for her powerful input today, as always, and to all
My
of
pleasure.
You be and to all of you be blessed. Be well, and stay empowered. Continuously walking in your power with purpose. This has been your Purpose Moment. Have a great evening.
Yes, have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Thank you.